Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is from our gospel lesson for today from Mark chapter 10, especially the words of James and John when they come, those sons of Zebedee, and come up to Jesus and say to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." This is our text. You may be seated. When was the last time you said the wrong thing? Notice I didn't ask, have you ever said the wrong thing? I said, when was the last time you said the wrong thing? Because we have all said the wrong thing at some point, at some time. There are just those times when we speak a little bit too quickly before we think. Maybe it's telling an inappropriate joke at a funeral. Or maybe you're sitting down with a friend who is depressed, who's had a string of bad luck, and you tell them, just get over it. Or maybe it's sending that email in the middle of the night, and soon as you hit that send button, you knew it was the wrong thing to do. Maybe it doesn't happen often, but at one time or another, we have all said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Our text for today takes place shortly before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And Jesus is very, very focused. He has his eyes set on Jerusalem. He is very, very focused on his passion on the cross. In fact, if you take a look at our lesson for today, at the beginning of our lesson for today, Jesus instructs his disciples for the third time that he is going up to Jerusalem, that the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes. They will condemn him to death, deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Take a look at that text. You'll see that Jesus is so very specific in his details. He tells the disciples in graphic detail about him being mocked and spit on and flogged and killed. He is so very close to the end so that it's on his mind a lot. And the reason why he tells his disciples about this again, for the third time, is because he wants them to know ahead of time what is going to happen so that they know that this is the plan. This has been God's plan from the Garden of Eden. And he also wants them to be able to deal with it when it happens. But after hearing about Jesus suffering and death for the third time, what do the disciples do? They say the wrong thing at the wrong time. James and John are two of Jesus' closest disciples. From the book of John, we know that John is the disciple that Jesus loved. John was Jesus' very closest disciple. James and John had been fishermen along with Peter and Andrew. They were partners together in their fishing business. And we know that John goes on to write not only the book of John, but also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation. Jesus cares for John so much that as he's hanging on the cross, he entrusts John with the care of his own mother after his death. And so we're not talking about two slouches here. We're talking about two very good men. We're talking about two very, very good disciples. But the question that they ask is poorly timed and totally inappropriate. First off, they ask, no, they don't even really ask. If you look at the text, they tell Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Can you imagine going to God in prayer and saying something like that? "God, I want you to do this for me. Never mind what it is, I want you to do it." I mean, who's the boss here? By definition, they are Jesus' disciples. Jesus is the teacher. He is the rabbi. Not only that, but he's the creator of the world. He is Almighty God. He brought them into the world, and so there is no way that they should be talking to him like this. Not only that, but it's what they ask for that really causes a problem. "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." They want to be right next to Jesus as he's sitting on his throne on high. Basically, they want to be the number one and number two people of all of creation. Out of the billions of people who have ever been born, are living right now, or will ever be, James and John want to be number one and number two. Really? That's a pretty tall order. And again, it's not just the request, it's the timing of the request. Asking Jesus to sit at his right and his left immediately after he lays out that he's going to be arrested and mocked and spit on and flogged and killed is totally insensitive. It is saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And of course, when the other disciples hear about their request, it does not sit well. They get pretty upset. As a matter of fact, the text says that they are indignant, and rightly so. But Jesus, always the one to do the right thing, he uses the situation as a teachable moment, and he teaches them about servanthood. "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now that, my dear friends, is a lesson that we all need to hear each and every day, that the Almighty God, the creator of the whole universe, came here to earth not to reign it over us, but to serve and to give up his life as a ransom for all people. You and I know that we are all masters at saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. I know when I was a kid, teenager, go to church with mom, dad, and my three younger sisters. We'd go to church, we'd sit there through church and Sunday school, and we'd get out of church, and even before we got out of the parking lot, my sisters and I would be arguing about something. We had just come out of church. We had just been through church and Sunday school. We hadn't even got out of the church parking lot. What happened to servanthood? What happened to putting the other person first? What happened to listening to God and putting God first? And it's not just in dealing with our siblings. It happens in our adult life as well. It happens in our professional lives as well. We have a goal in mind, and we're not going to let anyone or anything keep us from that goal. And so we say and we do things that aren't appropriate. We put ourselves and our goals first before others. In contrast to that, Jesus is the perfect example. He puts everyone else before himself. I mean, think about it. From the moment he was born until the moment he dies, his life is dedicated to save others from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Jesus died on the cross for those times when we put ourselves before others. Jesus died for those times when we said and did the wrong thing at the wrong time. We are getting very close to Good Friday. And even as we approach Good Friday, the day that our Lord died for our sins, our selfishness is evident. I mean, think back to the last Good Friday. Even on that day when our total focus should be on our Lord's passion, what are we thinking about? We're worrying about how much work we have to do. We're worrying about what we've got to get done. We're worrying about how many places we've got to go. Rather than focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins, we're worried about ourselves and what's going on in our lives. Thankfully, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our inappropriate comments and actions are forgiven. Jesus was perfectly appropriate so that he could forgive our inappropriate actions. And so, yeah, we're sinners. We will be totally inappropriate until that day when our Lord takes us up to heaven. But the truth of the matter is that God loves us so much despite our inappropriate words and our inappropriate actions. He loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, because of our inappropriate actions and our words. Jesus is the solution to our inappropriate actions and words. And so by his perfection, by his death on the cross, we are given his perfection. And we can look forward to the day when we will be appropriate and when we will be perfect when we get to our home in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.